Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
All right, we womp-womped the last time. We had the good fortune to visit with U of H head basketball coach Kelvin Sampson, so we go with a fight song this time out. Tomorrow night at the Fertitta Center, American Athletic Conference play opens for the Cougars, home for UCF, University of Central Florida, and as I delight in doing from time to time, I welcome Cougs head coach Kelvin Sampson to the program. Kelvin, happy new year to you and yours. A little extra happy, of course, if you come out of the shoot winning the league opener 10-3 through the non-conference. A doozy of a capper coming from, what, 14-15 down. Did catch most of the Washington game on Christmas. For those getting caught up to speed on the Cougars, how would you summarize where you are now at 10-3 and then the evolution of the 1920 squad?
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Charlie, and happy new year to you. I think this team has evolved. As a coach, I understood the impact that losing Galen, Corey, Armani, and Breon would have on this team. You don't lose someone that started 140 games, 100 games, 90 games, whatever, and replace them with guys he thinks a good player, but he's never played a game here. They've got to go through it. Adversity, poor play, bouncing back from that. Every time a basketball game is played, somebody's going to lose. We lost 3 games. We lost at Oregon. We lost at home to BYU by a point. We lost at home against Oklahoma State, didn't play well in either one of the home games. But I think we've learned from them. You can't be afraid to lose a game. Syracuse went to the Final Four the year when it was last in Houston. I think they lost 16 games that year. And I'm sure a lot of those games were early as they were trying to figure out who their team is. But our team is evolving. We're a lot better today than we were a month ago. But I still think this team has a high ceiling, Charlie. I think we can get a lot better. Our guards are settling in and figuring out how we want to play. They all have new roles. I found this out about kids over the years. When kids don't quite understand their role, that's code for I don't like my role. And sometimes as a player, you have to figure out what you can do to help the team be successful, and that means playing a role that you may not want to, but that's what the team needs, and we've had to go through that a little bit too.
Well, and that's where the quality of the kids and the culture of the program really matter. You have
right.
5 guys who I'd say are foremost perimeter guys in Mills and Grimes and Hinton and Sasser and Giroux. The most notable, certainly from the outside adjustment, was the insertion of Caleb Mills into the starting lineup. The objective of that at the time, and where do you see it sitting now?
I like our guards. In the Washington game, it's probably the most talented team that we've played is Washington. We finished the game with our backcourt was 2 freshmen and a sophomore, Mills, Sasser, and Grimes. And up front, Fabian White, who was the MVP of the tournament, and Justin Gorham, both juniors, played well. And then Bryson Gresham, another junior, and then our only senior, Chris Harris. The guy that's really playing well for us right now is Chris Harris, here from Madison High School. Struggled with a lot of things when he first got here. But one of the joys you have in coaches is seeing a kid develop and blossom and play with confidence and see him getting results from the hard work he's put in. That's, to me, that's why you coach, is a kid like Chris Harris. And But I think these freshmen that we have, Sasser, especially Sasser and Mills, those two guys are going to be really good around here for a long, long time. Charlie.
Team up to 36% from the three, and Nate Hinton's leap, which really started in the league play last year. I mean, he's at over 44%. So some nights will just be hit or miss, but we all know the anchor of what you want your teams to be about is defense. Where do you think you are now versus where you hope to be a couple of months from now?
Getting better, evolving. That arrow, I think, is pointing up. So when you get in conference play, teams prepare for you so much better. They're a lot more meticulous in what they're going to take away and how they think they can attack you. But our defense, I think, is the reason why we won the tournament in Hawaii. We didn't shoot well, particularly well in any of the three games, which is not surprising because we're not a great shooting team. But what we did is we bullied people on the offensive glass, got extra possessions that way. And then limiting teams to one shot. You know, most teams aren't going to beat you with their first shot. If you allow them to get a second shot or a third shot, it's where you run into problems. And our team's been doing a great job of rebounding both ends, and that's allowed us to get out and play fast on defense. And then offensive has allowed us to have extra possessions. So, Just keep getting better there. But I still think there's a lot of room for improvement in both those areas.
Is there a particular area where you see the greatest room for growth, where you will demand that growth or need that growth for this team to fulfill its potential as the squad did last year and the year before that, for that matter?
You know, just continue to move the ball with space. We got a lot of guys that like to dribble it. They're multi-dribble guys to set up their shot. When you run into problems on offense, Charlie, it's usually on the first side. When you come down the floor, you're on one side or the other. If you try to play on the first side, you're usually going to struggle. But if you can get the ball to the second side and back over to the third side, that's when you can stretch the defense and attack gaps. And our team's a lot better at that today than we were a month ago, and I think that's something we'll continue to do. But that's a sacrifice. That's being selfless, and that's something that we really preach with our culture.
Assessment 13 games in, the impact of the move back of the three-point line, pretty much what you thought, which was not a whole lot?
Yeah, I think teams aren't shooting it as much. Some coaches are going to fling it up there regardless. You know, we're not a great three-point shooting team, so our attempts are down. We're getting to the free throw line a lot more this year. But you know, sometimes, Charlie, when they're so wide open, you got to tell them to shoot it. Because I'd rather them shoot it than throw it away. We can rebound a missed shot. We cannot rebound a turnover.
Lay of the land as we start the American. It strikes me as from top down, there's greater depth this year. Memphis, number 9 in the country. A loss of Wiseman is huge, but it's not as if Penny Hardaway is devoid of talent. They're 12-1. Greg Marshall was just very steamed the way things went. You just knew it wasn't going to happen again. So they're in the top 25. They're 12-1. Temple lost at Maryland by 5, lost to Miami by 1. SMU won at Evansville, which might generate, Evansville won at Kentucky. Cincinnati lost to Colgate and then comes back and beats Tennessee. Is the league much more wide open this season than it's been the last couple?
I think just looking at non-conference, and obviously you have to be careful about making judgments about non-conference games, but I've watched Memphis two or three times. I watched their opener against Tulane in the conference the other night. I've watched Wichita State. Those are the two best teams I've seen. I saw Connecticut and Cincinnati last night. Cincinnati looked really good. That's the best I've seen them last night. I agree with your assessment about the balance of the league. You know, last year, 2 years ago, Cincinnati went 16-2. We went 14-4. Last year, we went 16-2, and Cincinnati went 14-4. So those two teams were probably the best teams those years. This year, I don't see anybody going 16-2 or maybe even 15-3. I think 14-4 could win the league because of how good SMU is now. Temple, Connecticut. Those teams are going to be tough outs at home. The teams that can take care of business at home and go get some notches on their belt on the road are the teams that's going to get in the NCAA tournament, because it's up for grabs in this league.
Two last things. UCF tomorrow night has a league game under its belt, a close loss to the Temple squad that we've referenced here. A taco-free diet. I'm sure you won't miss Mr. Fall's absence. Just the thumbnail on the conference opener.
Well, they're a little bit like us, and they lost four starters. B.J. Taylor was their first-team all-conference guard. Aubrey Dawkins, the coach's son, had a great, great year. Taco's become a folk hero up in Boston. I saw where he's leading the Boston Symphony. I mean, how do you go? How about his story? They found themselves though. They've had some good wins. Johnny did a really smart thing. Johnny Dawkins, their coach, in that with all the guys he lost, he took advantage of these grad transfers. He's got a kid from that started every game for 3 years and transferred. UCF and Dejon Ingram, 6'6 kid. He had 14 rebounds in that game against Tulsa as a point guard. Their best player, Colin Smith, from last is returning starter. He really killed us last year in that game where they beat us at our place. He really played well. So, older team, veteran team, kind of team that those are the kind of teams that play well on the road.
Last thing, I guess a coach's life, you have a schedule, a calendar, and we maybe don't even need days of the week. But are you aware, and I know TV dictates so much, U of H might be the only team in the history of college basketball to not have one Saturday home game the entire season.
Absolutely. What's up with that? How does that happen? I was talking to Chris Pesman about that when the schedule came out. You know, and I don't like that. I think it's disrespectful to our program and to our fan base. You know, you equate college basketball with Saturday afternoon games. Those are games where you can bring your children, family, students can get to the games. Sunday's a little bit tougher, especially when you live in an NFL city in October, November, December, early January because of Sunday games, obviously, and some playoff games. But two straight years where you know, last year I think we had one, this year none, but we've got a ton of Sunday games. And the problem with the Sunday games is usually because we have to give the kids a day off during the week, we usually give them off on Sunday because a lot of our kids will go to church. A lot of our coaches go to church. So now we work every Sunday, and we're Saturday's a preparation day, so. Believe me, Charlie, that's something we brought up to the league, and hopefully that can get corrected.
Okay, yeah, way more than a quirky little thing. Well, the Fertitta Center, it's hands down the best sports environment in the city right now, and a conference opener tomorrow night, UCF, an early 6 o'clock start, I might add. Kelvin, as always, appreciate it. Best of luck as you get the conference play rolling, and as always, hope to visit as you move through the season.
Okay, appreciate you having me on. Thanks, Charlie.